So in this way, there'll be a sort of network. Each and every one of you really ought to be able to do what I've done. It really ought to be possible, especially in the case of those who've been ordained 7, 8, 9, 10 years. It really ought to be possible for me, well, to sort of put you down in, what, the jungles of Brazil, or, you know, the deserts of Australia, and say, come on, just start up the FWPO, just start up the order. This really ought to be possible. I think in a few cases it is possible. But I think in principle, ideally, every single one of you should be able to do, in the course of your lifetime, more or less what I've done. You know, with the additional advantage that you've got a model. You've got a spiritual movement, an order already existing to which you belong. You're not, as it were, only included in the mandala, or occupying a position on the circumference of the mandala of the order. You are also a center of an order, which grows, which develops from the order as we have it now. Each one of you should be, or should become, if not in the course of the next 20 years, but hopefully shortly after, the center of another group, single inverted commas, another spiritual community of order members, members of the Western Buddhist order. At present, how many are you? Huh? Some, what is it? 336? Seven? Sorry. So you could say, well, in the course of the last 20 years, Sangharakshita, doing his best, has been able, as it were, to produce, using that expression, and not counting some who've dropped out, 337 order members. I'm quite sure that there are some people sitting here who, in the course, if not of the next 20 years, certainly the next 40 years, if the world doesn't come to an end and they don't die prematurely, very likely, at the end of their lives, have far more disciples, or have ordained, you know, together with other order members, far more people than I have done. You mustn't think, well, Bhante's ordained 337 plus. Maybe in the course of our lifetime we'll ordain 5 or 6 or 10. Don't think like that. Think that we've got to grow, we've got to expand. There's no reason why some of you shouldn't, in the course of your lives, in association with other order members, perhaps with yourself presiding or taking the lead, ordain 500, even 1,000 other people. At present, our movement is very small, but I'm sure it can grow, it can spread. In the course of my lifetime, I've seen so many changes which I could not have dreamt of, both for the better and for the worse. When I, for instance, went to India, what was the position, what was the condition of Tibet? You couldn't get in. I couldn't get into Tibet. 1950, 51, I wasn't allowed in. And what was the state of affairs in Tibet? A Buddhist state. It was, to use that term, a theocracy. Hundreds of monasteries, thousands of monasteries, tens of thousands of monks. Without idealizing the state of affairs then, virtually the whole population devoted to the Dharma, and the Dharma occupying a position of tremendous importance in their lives. But what is the position now? Well, we all know, sadly, what is the position now? There's been that great, that tremendous change in the status of Tibet, you know, as a Buddhist country. We know the sort of changes that have taken place even in China during that period, during my lifetime. Changes that have taken place in Vietnam. Changes that have taken place in Cambodia. That's the debit side of the balance sheet. But again, when I arrived in India, how many Buddhists were there in India? There were just maybe not more than 100,000, mostly lurking in places like Sikkim and Darjeeling District and Ladakh. And just a few thousand scattered over the plains of India. Now we've got at least 4 million, some people say 20 million Buddhists in India. Look at that tremendous change. due mainly to the efforts of Dr. Ambedkar, as we all know. Who would have thought it? I certainly would not have thought it, that there would have been this tremendous expansion of Buddhism in India during my lifetime, during just a few years of my lifetime. So I don't see it as beyond the bounds of possibility that there'll be a tremendous growth and expansion of the order. Not so much perhaps under my personal auspices, but under your auspices in the course of the next 20 years, 30 years, 40 years. I'm quite sure that I haven't really done very much more than plant a few seeds. And it'll be up to all of you and those who come after you to water those seeds, to nurture the plants that spring up, and to plant further seeds. I'm quite sure that most of you, if not all of you, can do really much more than you think you can. I think some of you have discovered that recently, especially perhaps those who've done things like door knocking and who've even perhaps gone to America and raised funds for aid for India. Would you have thought, say, 5 or 6 years ago, 7 or 8 years ago, that you could have done that? Probably not. But you've done it. You've done it. And I'm sure that you can do a lot more, every single one of you. So in a way, we have to think big, not in a sort of megalomaniacal sort of way, but because we have faith in the Dharma and faith and confidence in our own going for refuge. And if we do have that, there'll be a network of chapters spreading far and wide. I think I can say, continuing just for a few more moments, this question of handing over responsibility, I think I can say that my work, or my share of the work with regards to the order and the movement, will be complete only when the order is no longer dependent on me personally. It's no longer dependent on me personally for quite a lot of things. I no longer have to lead all the meditation classes. I no longer have to give all the lectures, as I did once upon a time, as Ananda well remembers. I no longer have to lead all the retreats. Quite a lot of things I no longer have to do, but there are still a lot of things which I do have to do, including the conferring of ordinations. But I shall consider that I've really done my work for the movement and my work for the Dharma in the world in this lifetime when I'm able to hand over all my responsibilities and just see the whole movement, see the order especially, functioning well and happily and effectively and usefully without me. And I hope to see this happening within the next 20 years. You could say probably that is my biggest hope, that in the course of the next 20 years, the movement, and the order in particular, will become quite independent of me, so that it won't matter, in a sense, to the movement and the order, whether I spend my time at Guhyaloka or Padmaloka, whether I write prose, or whether I write poetry, or whether I do absolutely nothing at all, whether I just put my feet up, as you may go, I've got somewhere to put them up and they're not too stiff. And, if you like, just relax. So much for self.